things we're dealing with are threats to humanity unlike anything the world has ever seen before.
We can bequeath our children a greener planet and a more prosperous future.
That's what climate change is about. It is literally, not figuratively, a clear and present danger.
If unprecedented changes are not made, and made soon, there will be irreversible damage to the planet.
Zero Carbon.
East Hall.
Hello and welcome to Zero Carbon East, Series 5, Just Stop the Tories. I'm Ian Collins and this is the UK's number one environment-based podcast. If it's green, it's in. And Dale, if it's a right-wing nut, it's in.
With the right-wing nutcrackers, aren't we?
The week that keeps on giving, right?
It was a week in which actually, really, our title, the title of the whole series, Just Stop the Tories, receives even more validation, right? We're going to come to it in the agenda. I know we are. Crazy new plan from Rishi Sunak. And some really crazy stuff when it comes to political funding. I know they're all in the episode, but for me, it all just reinforces the focus of this series, which is we've got to stop the Tories, man.
Do you know what? I know you've thrown a few quid towards the Labour Party, but this Hester character, he's up to about 15 mil so far. I mean, that's going to be about half of their entire electoral war chest. I think that's the phrase, isn't it? War chest.
I think it might be. And war's an interesting word to use in the context of him. He said, you know, looking at Diane Abbott makes him want to hate all black women and she should be shot. I mean, what the f***?
Yeah, but I mean, other than that, Dale.
Other than that, he's probably a decent bloke. Actually, he's not, is he? He talked about Indians needing to get on the roof of a train. He's done all kinds. He said all kinds of mad stuff. And the focus of the media has been about money, that he should give his money back. But how about the fact that what he said is wrong and should be illegal?
Do you know what? It draws me back to something my old nan used to say, to be honest, Dale. She'd say, every single time, she'd say, I don't care what anybody says, but that Hester chap is a bit of a...
I knew it had words in it. That's brilliant. But look, it took Sunak 24 hours before he would finally denounce what this bloke Hester said as racist. It took him 24 hours. This is the man, Sunak, right, who loves to tease Keir Starmer by saying he can't define a woman. And this week we learned that Rishi Sunak can't define a racist.
Yeah, and this comes from a non-white prime minister, just to sort of compound the confusion.
That's right.
You can't write this shit, right?
You can't, can you? And then his ex-party chairman, Anderson, just days before that had claimed...
Leave my Lee alone.
He claimed that the Sadiq Khan had been taken over by Islamist extremists or something. And Sunak couldn't bring himself to call that racist either. He just said, oh, it was unacceptable. And the Tory party, I mean, they're going to the dogs, aren't they? But the trouble is they're taking the country with them.
It's how they go to the dogs, isn't it? Do we want to see them? Because only yesterday, as we record this, he ruled out this May the 2nd election. Is it more entertaining? I know this isn't the way democracy should work, but is it more entertaining just to see another 6 months of this kind of carnage playing out? It's not even week by week, it's hour by hour.
It is.
Or do we just, you know, do the sort of euthanize them kind of as soon as we possibly can?
I hear you.
Or is that hate speech? Will I be reported to Michael Gove for hate speech?
Yeah, maybe you'll be an extremist, aren't you? You'll be on the new list, right? I hear what you're saying, like how much we put the mock into democracy here, don't we, on this show. We love to have a laugh at these fools, but actually they're doing real harm. And that is a serious point. I would have preferred them to go in May, just get it over and done with. They're hanging on for a miracle, or just because they're stubborn. Rishi likes being in number 10. I mean, who knows? But they're hanging on, and the inevitable is coming, right? Yeah. Like the climate crisis is coming, only this one's coming a bit quicker for them.
It is, yes, that's the only way. Very quick. But of course, Rishi's trying to sort of, you know, he's got his spade and he's bailing out the water of the decks. And he decided if all else fails, then just announce a new gas power station. That's the way to do it, Dale.
Yes, some more fossil foolery from Rishi Sunak. The announcement of the year, almost. I mean, more drilling for oil and gas in the North Sea was a bit shocking in its day, but, you know, it wasn't exceptional. But this one, to build a new fleet of gas-fired power stations. They announced this week, the Tories, they announced, we have a real problem in our country. We're going to have blackouts if we don't build gas-fired power stations because we're building so many renewables. And it's an entirely fabricated problem that they came up with and, of course, immediately had the answer. You know, we've got a problem of blackouts. The answer is power stations. It isn't. It doesn't add up at all because, you know, we're about 50% green on the grid now and we have a big bunch of gas power stations that fill the gaps. If we build more renewable energy, we just use those power stations less. It doesn't mean we need more power stations.
Nobody tell him this in the meeting.
It's madness to me. It's such a stupid thing to say. And of course, they won't be around anyway. Nobody is going to get out of bed, you know, today, yesterday, just after the announcement. Do you know what, guys? Let's start the five-year-long process to get planning permission for a new gas power station because the Tories say they're with us. The Tories ain't going to be there, are they?
Here's a question from John. Dale, how many domestic 10 kilowatt batteries would we need to install in order to reduce daytime peaks of electricity? Brackets, the national grid has to manage using gas-fired power stations to within the current capacity of our existing solar, wind, nuclear generation. That's the longest question we've ever had. That's not a question, that's a book.
I feel like I'm a mastermind.
I need a book bugle topic. For this.
I need a calculator and a cold towel in about half an hour.
Yeah.
Look, I'm going to check it out because it occurs to me, I want to do it anyway. I want to dig into how much gas capacity we've got now because one thing the Tories said in their announcement this week is that we need 5 gigawatts of new capacity. So I just want to kind of compare that to what we've got and stuff like that. How many 10 kilowatt batteries we need will be simple maths once we have a sense of that. Honestly, I can't tell you off the top of my head.
But we're on it. We're going to go back
we're on it,
and
John.
Get some... We're going to get some data on this. Morgan says, if Labour are elected, should they install solar PV on every single council house?
Well, I'd go bigger than that, Morgan. We published a study a couple of months ago that showed 70% of our homes in the whole country are suitable for solar panels. And between them, they could generate 12.5% of all the electricity that we use in our country, not just on homes, but in business as well. And given that we only have a 50% gap to close to get to 100% green on the grid, that means it's 25% of all the new energy we need to build right on our rooftops. And they need no grid upgrades. This is the thing that's holding back big offshore projects, 10, 15 year queues for massive grid upgrades. If you do it on a house, no grid upgrading. And so that's a really exciting thing for me. Massive economic gain to our country, loads of jobs created. And also we put green energy in the hands of the people. You know, we give people a stake in this green economy. They'll have lower energy bills and stuff like that. And while we're there putting solar panels on, let's do the energy efficiency thing, bring the bills down that way as well. As per John's question, throw in some batteries as well so that we can big up the smart grid.
And let's compound this point or continue on this point because a disturbing report from Greenpeace talks about the devastating effects of not insulating homes.
Oh, what a report, right? I mean, 58 people died every day on average during the winter since Cameron made his famous cut the green crap move in 2013. And we published some reports that show the cost in money terms of what he did, like $7 billion on our energy bills from the onshore wind ban, $3 billion through the scrapping of the zero carbon home standard for new homes. But 58 people a day on average dying. I mean, thousands of people have lost their lives. Thank you, David, for cutting the green crap.
And also, I mean, just to throw in another disturbing stat around this, poorly insulated homes contribute to poor health. That costs the NHS about £850 million a year and is responsible for about 14% of the UK's total greenhouse gas emissions. So there's no good element to this story anyway.
I was just about to gibber about that as well, but thank you. Yeah. I mean, it's a mad sum of money. It's nearly £1 billion added to the, you know, the burden of the NHS from badly insulated homes. I mean, it's just simple. Our energy bills are higher, our health bills are higher, and actually people are dying. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
So hopefully somebody will do something about it. Hopefully we get some grown-ups in government sometime this year.
Here's a question from Hannah who says, how are we urgently going to unlock onshore wind in the UK? I mean, this comes up almost every episode at some level.
Labour are going to move with urgency in that they'll do it on day one of being in government. Ed Miliband has told us that publicly several times. And it's ever so simple. Just take away the Tory ban in the planning system. Just take it away and we can get cracking. It's the cheapest form of energy we can build. It's the fastest and it's the cleanest. And there's enough of it to power the whole country several times over, like about four. Throw in solar, which is also cheap, fast and clean, which compared with the country about six times over. You know, we have an abundance of this stuff, and we can get to 100%, and we can do it without any public money. And I think that's really important to keep saying.
Yeah. It's time for another one of these. It's Right Wing Nut Part 2. And this is all about Nature England.
Yes, and having less of it if the Tories have their way. They are moving behind the scenes to undermine nature protections in England. They're lobbying for Natural England and the Environment Agency to be basically stripped of their responsibilities, or disbanded, I would think, putting the responsibilities back into DEFRA, which, of course, is a farmers' kind of lobby group sat in government. I mean, only bad can come from it, right? And
there's not really much good can come of it. I think we could all agree on that. I wonder what the motivations are behind this kind of thing.
I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? Because the decline in nature in our country is just incredible. You know, it's at epic levels. It's part of this sixth great extinction of wildlife that is happening around the world. It's not just happening somewhere else. It's happening here. It's nearly done. It's nearly complete. And the Tories want, I guess, more powers to destroy more habitats and diminish nature even further.
Here's a question from Chris. What do the energy market reforms mean for the consumer?
Well, I haven't seen any, but we've suggested some in our green budget last week. For example, price capping North Sea gas, right? A very simple thing to do. Don't let those guys sell it for 10 times what it costs to make just because the global market says that's the new price this week. Set a price like we do in retail that allows a reasonable profit margin, and that's it. It will save us $5 billion a year on our energy bills. And the other thing is break the link between the price of gas and the price of electricity. That will save us another $6 billion. It's a meaningless link. All it does is make money for people, raise our energy bills, and make a lot of people poor to make a few people rich. Two things, £11 billion a year. They're the kind of reforms that we would bring in if we had the chance.
Here's a disturbing one, Dale. Mind-blowing stat on ocean temperatures. We see ocean temperature stories around every now and again, in fact, all too regularly. But these are pretty disturbing.
Yeah, it's part of the background kind of drumbeat of records being broken, isn't it? The ocean is always in there and increasingly heating up. But this statistic right here is a shocker. It's a fantastic perspective. The asteroid that killed off the dinosaurs, right? I don't know if I can pronounce this. It was called Chicxulub or something like that. I don't know.
Well, you've done it for me.
It was a big thing. You know, it wiped out dinosaurs and just changed the climate on our planet. Right now, Earth's oceans have heated by 287 zetajoules. I've never heard of that unit, right? I can't get my head around it, but I can this one. That's the equivalent of 4.6 billion Hiroshima nuclear bombs. That's what we've stuck into the oceans, 4.6 billion nukes. And that's just in a few decades. We're 68% of the way to recreating the impact of Chicxulub. If I can say it right, I probably can't.
It's doing it for me.
Yeah. We're nearly 70% of the way to creating the event that wiped out the dinosaurs.
Chicxulub.
I think it's Chicxulub. Are you reading, reading that the same?
Yeah, no, it sounds, yeah, Chicxulub.
Could be Chicxulub. Could be Chicxulub.
Chicxulub. Yeah, I'm sure somebody listening to this will think, pair of assholes.
I don't know why KFC don't co-opt it as a kind of a name for a new dish, you know?
That's a very good point, yes. Chicxulub in a bucket. Before we go to a couple more questions, Dale, it's time for this. Because you've been busy on the book circuit, you're kind of, it's Grisham, J.K. Rowling, Charles Dickens and Dale Vince.
Yes.
Your ideal dinner party book guests.
Well, yeah, I'm not a good dinner party guest because I'll be pointing at your food and saying, what are you eating that for?
You crazy bastard.
I've done it. I've got form.
I can only imagine. Yeah. I think it's time you left now, Mr. Vince.
So, yeah, I was in Bristol on Monday doing a book event, which was great fun. And in London on Tuesday in Islington at a climate center. And that was just brilliant. You know, there's 100 people there, real kind of really interesting crowd, some brilliant questions, a bit like what we get here on this show.
Yeah.
And in between all of that, because, you know, we've had Rishi Sunak's power station announcement and all kinds of media interventions and donation scandals. And, you know, it's been a whirlwind of a week, I would say.
Good work. Final question from Bert, who says, does Labour do enough on biodiversity, nature and the countryside? I mean, there is a sort of vague accusation against the Labour Party, who will be doing, you know, clearly far more in the Green department than predecessors, but a fear that they might go for the sort of big headlines rather than the other areas of this debate, which are just as crucial.
Yeah, I think the question itself probably isn't phrased completely right. Does Labour do enough? Should we probably say enough or plan enough, actually? Because obviously they're not the government yet. So no, they're not doing enough right now, but they aren't able to do anything because they're not in power. I hear the question. I hear what you're saying. And people do say that Labour have a blind spot for nature, that kind of stuff. I don't know if it's true or it's not. I really don't.
And in fairness, they're not in power.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not yet an area that they would be able to get their teeth in with any kind of substantial measure.
But I think what people are probably saying is there's a lack of strong policy on the issue or something like that. I don't know. But then people say that generally, don't they, about, you know, just because that's what's happened lately, you know, backing away from 28 billion, all that kind of stuff. Labour being very cautious not to give gifts to the right-wing media and... hopefully this is just another one of those issues. Honestly, I don't know. Now I'm just gibbering.
There's nothing wrong with a gibber.
That's all I'm reduced to, late Friday.
We are both reduced to a gibbering heap at the end of all of that. That's it for this episode, Dale. We'll speak in a week.
Fantastic. See you then.
Don't forget, of course, to follow this podcast so that you get each new episode automatically. Leave a review there as well. Follow Dale on social media, twitter.com/DaleVince, facebook.com/DaleVince, and on TikTok too.
Zero Carbon. East off.